from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio.
On WGR.
Excuse me, by the way, two more home runs for Aaron Judge yesterday. Two more home runs, not one. Sal Capaccio now on the Wester Hotline as we will get into Bills practice from yesterday and some of the injury updates as we are 2 weeks from the NFL season and we're getting closer and closer to cut day. I bet you were right there. You heard that update with, oh no, he had two. Judge had two home runs last night. He's on pace for 60 yeah, now, you know, I think. What? Easily, right?
Yeah, he is. You know what's funny to me is I actually saw the first one I was watching. And then later, they were up by a lot, so I was doing some other things and getting ready for bed. It was an early night. And then I just happened to check in. I'm like, oh, they scored eight. How'd they score the last run? Bam. Wow, another home run for Judge. So I went back and watched the video. He is – Jeff Passan had a stat. Mm-hmm. Go search out Jeff Passan on Twitter and look at his stat. The numbers Judge are putting up right now, apparently what he wrote were – nobody is slugging at a higher rate this high into the season who hasn't been linked to steroids. They had to put that little part in there.
Yeah.
Since Ted Williams, which is unbelievable.
It's like,
I mean, he really is the best hitter on the planet right now. He's incredible. He really is. It's. I don't care who you root for. Watching this guy, I mean, just appreciate it. He's unbelievable what he's doing right now.
Yeah. There's another stat. I'm just looking up. I was looking for the passing one. Yeah, here it is. Passing. Yeah, through 127 games, yep, first since Ted Williams in 1957 to put up those numbers. He also is the first player in history to bat 375 and hit 43-plus home runs in a 98-game stretch in a single season. So, yeah. That's pretty incredible. All right.
By the way, there's a good race going on in the AL East now, right? I mean, like,
yep.
It's pretty, if you're not much into baseball or you wait till the playoffs,
yeah.
Just check it out. Like, the Yankees and Orioles keep going back and forth on who's in first, and then you have the Guardians right there on, like, the overall best record in the American League, which is all pretty cool.
And you got some help from Jesse Winker, the Western New York native yesterday.
Bills fan, that's right.
Bills fan Jesse Winker gets one for the Mets against the Orioles. What a weird day for baseball, Sal. Joey Votto retiring from a Buffalo parking lot is definitely going to be trivia in 10 years.
Oh my gosh, it's amazing. Like, I don't know, and I haven't looked into it. I haven't talked to anybody down at the Bisons yet or anything like that. Maybe you guys know. Was this planned? Did he just show up and decide to do it at the last second? Like, I have no idea how this went down.
Yeah.
All I know is I saw the posts about it and then his video. Like, did they say, hey, come on and do it? Did he just show up to the parking lot and go, I'm not feeling it today. I'm going to retire. I don't know how it went down.
I don't know either. It was on his Instagram, and he was in the park. It almost made it seem like to me like he was about to get in his car. He's like, you know what? I'm done. Let me tell everybody.
I know. That's what it seemed like.
It seemed like it was, yeah, impromptu a little bit, but I'm not sure. Sal Capaccio now on the West Hur Hotline. The Bills have their preseason finale Saturday against Carolina. Get into a little bit about that game, too. But, Sal, the headline, I mean, you wrote about it on our website, and it was the headline, but the Bills getting a little healthier at safety seems to be the best news that we've had this week.
Yeah, I mean, there's still some time here before the season starts. And I think, you know, the alarm bells really went off on Monday when Sean McDermott ran through all the injuries, and there's been a lot made about that, and I understand that for sure. Like, there are a lot of injuries. As I've been kind of telling people here for the last couple of weeks, yes, it seems like there's some more, but let's always remember you do have injuries in preseason, and generally they like to kind of make sure that they back off a little bit and get everybody as healthy as possible before week one. It feels like maybe that's starting to happen a little bit here. Safety is the most notable position as of yesterday. You get Cole Bishop back on Tuesday wearing a red non-contact jersey. You get Mike Edwards back yesterday. Now, he wasn't in a red jersey, but neither of them participated in full team drills, meaning offense against defense. They did individual position work. Same thing with Nicholas Morrow, a linebacker, 2 days now where he's been back, only did individual work. My sense is, you know, once you get through this week and then, you know, you get past your final preseason game, maybe next week those guys, they get back in with the defense. We'll see where that goes. And then you're also going to, you know, start monitoring Curtis Samuel, Marquez Valdez-Scantling, Quentin Morris, who else? Mitch Trubisky. So there are some guys still, Bielan Spector, who are important, you know, that are not participating, but they're starting to get a little bit healthier. And hey, as long as you get to, like, I don't know, the week leading up to the opener, and we get to that first injury report, you're going to have a few guys questionable maybe, but it just feels like it's going in the right direction here a little bit, and, you know, just got to give it a little more time.
Yeah, when it comes to, like, handicapping, you know, Bishop versus Edwards, who might be playing a bigger role, should they both be healthy, would you give the edge to Edwards because he's a veteran, or is it a little tougher to figure out? Because if I remember right, Sal, like, when they both last were on the field at St. John Fisher, even Edwards was kind of back and forth, right? First team, second team. So I don't know. How would you handicap those two as they get back to team drills eventually?
He was, but I would say that's because he missed pretty much all of OTAs and minicamp. Mike Edwards, let's remember, Cole Bishop at least got to participate in rookie camp, OTAs, minicamp. He gets hurt in training camp. Mike Edwards did not participate in any of that stuff until I think he was in uniform for mandatory minicamp, but he never participated in any team stuff because he had been recovering from his shoulder injury. Now it's Cole Bishop with the shoulder injury, right? So I think that's why, Joe, even on the Bills depth chart, if you go to the Bills depth chart right now, you'll see Cole Bishop listed as in the second team, Mike Edwards the third. To me, that's a lot of it's because circumstantial, because of all the injuries that he's had. If they're both healthy, I lean towards Edwards. I think the Bills signed Mike Edwards to be a starting safety with Taylor Rapp. In fact, Sean McDermott basically said that a while ago. Cole Bishop has more of a learning curve. He's a rookie. Now, that said, I mean, I think it's all about which guy they really just feel comfortable getting up to speed quicker now at this point, guys. Now it feels like it's almost a race now, right? And not necessarily in a bad way, right? I don't mean to say it that way. Oh, my God, I got to race against this guy to be up to speed. It's who can get there a little bit quicker that we trust a week one against the Arizona Cardinals to know our system, to know what to do. And in that case, you'd probably lean the veteran anyway because he's seen enough football. He's been around it. You know, for Cole Bishop, you might just want to make sure you kind of put him in certain situations. McDermott said when he was on with Shelton Bulldog the other day, thought it was really interesting. He said, you know, with Bishop, they have to figure out, like, once he is healthy, is he ready to play all three downs? Is it just first and second down? Is it third down? Like, what is that role? So that's an indication to me where they probably feel comfortable with Mike Edwards on all three downs, but you got to get him there.
Yeah. Would you still consider Hamlin to be in the mix to start there, or do you think this injury kind of really knocks the chances of that?
I'm glad you brought him up, first of all, because he has a hamstring injury, and he was another one that I saw progress in yesterday, meaning he was doing stuff off to the side with trainers. He actually stretched with the team, had his helmet on. I put some video up, and even though it's a hamstring injury, he's doing footwork with the trainers and shuffling, and that's really good. That's good progress. So he's getting closer, it appears. If everybody's healthy, I don't really put DeMar there as far as being, you know, a starter, but hey, I mean, he did have a good offseason. And he was starting, you know, while those guys were out. So I think that, you know, he would at least get a shot to see. And again, this might come down to who's the healthiest that we can trust. And as I keep saying this, I want to remind everybody, got to remember the Bills have 2 games in 5 days to start the season. Right? I mean, they play Sunday, Thursday to start the year. And that Thursday game is a division game. If any of these guys are, you know, borderline, they might, you might just have to back off on them week one so that they're ready week two, because you don't want to kind of get them in a position where they're not very effective week one and then they're out week two. So I think DeMar Hamlin's still in the mix. Yes, to answer your question, I do think he's still in the mix, but I think it becomes tougher for him. Look, this is good old Cam Lewis now, right? That's where we're at. And Cam Lewis is just Mr. I can do whatever you need me to do. And if they have to, they'll play Cam Lewis, and they'll be okay with that. I mean, it might not be the most ideal situation, but they'll be fine with that. They have guys, Taylor Rapp, obviously, Cam Lewis. I think right now it's more about what numbers do you have? How do you approach the roster cut down on Tuesday, given what you have with the injury situation there and around the roster?
Sal, let me ask you about special teams last week. Obviously, Daquan Hardy wasn't the primary returner. They were giving looks to KJ Hamler in week one of the preseason. Obviously had the fumbled kickoff, which, you know, is not going to win you very many kick return battles. McDermott, I think, had some good things to say about Hardy, but talked about his youth and lack of experience returning. But he wasn't the only one that really stood out to me. I think Jamarcus Ingram stood out to me on special teams last week, Sal, and so did Javon Solomon. For being a defensive lineman, I can't really think of too many guys that are running down on the punt team. He made that great play. I think it was on punt. I mean, they've got a couple of these younger players at the bottom of their roster, Sal, Hardy, Ingram, and Solomon that I'm thinking of, that I think will be primary special teams contributors. And I don't know that we've talked a lot about how they're key special teams contributors. We talked a lot about the losses of Hyde and Poyer and Tre'Davious White and obviously, you know, Mitch Morse on offense, but they're also rebuilding the core of their special teams unit. They're losing Matakavich and obviously Saran Neal as well. Like, that's a pretty big turnover at the roster on special teams as well, no?
Well, it is, because, you know, those guys also are going to be counted on maybe to help on defense in some capacity, right? But yes, I mean, I think that you think about all of the different changes the Bills have had here last few years. Tyrell Dodson's another one, right? That, you know, was a big special teams player for them for the last several years. He's no longer on the roster. You said Tyler Matakevich, of course, that's one. When you say those names, Nate, you're not wrong. Those are special teams guys, but individually, I think Jamarcus Ingram's fighting to be the number three corner.
Yeah.
Jamarcus Ingram's had a heck of a offseason, heck of a training camp. I love his game. You guys know that. I've loved Jamarcus Ingram for a while. I just think his size, his length, his game translates so well to the NFL level. And I just think he's been on this progression for the last few years. And what did Bobby Babbage tell us yesterday? Did you guys hear what he said about Jamarcus Ingram? He gained 20
yes.
pounds.
Yeah.
Like he's stronger. So I look at Jamarcus Ingram and say, okay. And part of the reason why, you're right, like, he'll play special teams because they're comfortable with him having him on the roster as a defender. And yep, while you're there and you're not starting, you're going to play special teams, which helps. And then you go to Javon Solomon. Javon Solomon's interesting because they have numbers at defensive end, and it's going to be close on who they're going to keep. You got him. You got Kingsley Jonathan. I think I always see those two as kind of the same here. So do you keep them both? I can't see them moving on from Javon Solomon because, A, he's a draft pick. B, I think he's done a nice job.
Yeah.
You know, he's really kind of even coming around in the run game. And Kingsley has as well, by the way. I think they both looked good. So, but Javon Solomon, hey, we're going to keep him as defensive end.
Yeah.
Excuse me. You know, he's going to have to play some special teams, and he can maybe get on the field in certain situations or if somebody gets banged up at defensive end. Now, Daquan Hardy is a bit different. I do think they would love to see Daquan Hardy win the return job. I think that's why he's getting all these reps.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
But with all of the injuries at safety, I just mentioned Cam Lewis has moved to the back end a little bit here. You know, Daquan's listed as the as a backup slot to Taron Johnson. He's also been playing the boundary during preseason. Nobody thought this guy was going to play the boundary when he was drafted. Yeah. Everyone said, oh, yeah, no chance there. He's just a slot guy and a return man. Why do you, I mean, read the tea leaves. Why are they doing that? They're doing that because they're probably expecting him to have to contribute, so the more he can do, the better, so they don't have to have one guy just can do one thing that they have to keep on the roster. If he can play slot, he can play boundary, he can be a return man, that really checks a few boxes for him to stay on the roster, and I think that's why he's being trained at all these things.
So, Sal, I mean, part of the reason I brought this up, and I'm glad you started walking down the path of where I was sort of thinking when I'm looking at this new, I guess, core of special teams players. Like, I think for a long time, or since Sean McDermott came in, these players, the Serraniels is definitely someone that I'm thinking of, and Tyler Matakavich, and some of these core special teamers that have been here in the past had been veterans that really was no threat to push another position. Like, they were core special teams players, but that was their specialty. I'm seeing more young players. You mentioned Jamarcus Ingram, who's pushing a former first round pick in Kyrie Lynn to be the number three corner. You have Javon Solomon, who, on top of being a potential core special teamer, he might be asked to play 15-20% of the snaps because Von Miller's going to be more of a pass rush specialist. You got Cam Lewis, who's going to probably and can play a bunch of different positions. Daquan Hardy, who can play a couple of different positions. I guess where I'm going with this is they've gone younger on special teams, but these are players that aren't just going to be asked to be potential journeyman, like core special teams players their entire careers. These are guys that are pushing roster positions at the core roster spot that they play in as well.
Yeah, I mean, Cam Lewis, by the way, and Taron Johnson. Think about this. Cam Lewis and Taron Johnson are the now longest tenured Buffalo
That's
Bills secondary
pretty crazy.
Players.
That's pretty crazy.
Right? Cam, it was his sixth year, I believe. He's only 27
sixth
still.
Year.
He's really good.
By
right?
the he's, way, he's, Jamarcus yeah. Ingram quietly is going to be 27 by the start of the season. Like he must have played a lot of college. He's 4 years older than Kyrie Elam is. That could even be a check in his in his favor that he's just
more
experienced
yeah.
at least in college.
Yeah, you're getting some of these older guys because COVID year. Like a lot of them had an extra year of eligibility. Same thing happened. By the way, it's Joe Andreessen. Joe Andreessen, I think, played 6 years of college football.
He did,
actually.
Yep.
I think he was five at Bryant and one at UB, right?
Yep.
So he comes in the league a little bit older. You're getting a little bit more of these guys who are coming in a little bit older. And, you know, Jamarcus Ingram came in a couple of years ago, and, you know, he was a UDFA. But you're right. Like, you look at these guys, sometimes they're a little bit older than you think now. And, yeah, Cam Lewis, he isn't one of those guys. He came in, he's been 6 years, I think, now in the league. And, yes, these guys got to be counted on to do a little bit more. And maybe the philosophy is, Nate, for what you're saying, like maybe it, because the Bills have made a point, they've said a few times, like they've gotten younger, right? They've gotten younger. I will tell you, I think they're younger and they're a little bit more athletic. Think about the guys you're talking about. Saran Neal, Tyler Matakavich, Taiwan Jones, who was here, right? And doing
right.
things. Jake Kumerow. Like these are guys who, yeah, they had these one roles. And as they got older, you know, maybe that's, you can't really count on them to be these regular players. Well, if you go younger and more athletic, you get a little bit more flexibility from some of these guys too, right? Hey, they can cover kick, but we can also put him into a spot duty on defense to play here. And I wonder if that's been kind of an intention, not just the financials of it, but maybe just, hey, that's that what would help us. And let's be honest, they didn't have a great year on special teams last year. So they probably evaluated it. And my guess is there was some of that, which was, hey, maybe we just need to get a little bit younger and more athletic in some of these areas here.
By the way, if Joe Andreessen and Jamarcus Ingram make the roster, you be out here as like Bill's defense factory and Cam Lewis.
It really is. I mean, yeah. I mean, we a few of us in the media were talking about that yesterday watching, which is the same thing you just said, Joe. If Andreessen makes it, I mean, you're talking about not only three University of Buffalo Bulls on the Bills, but three who would be like contributors, I think, in some capacity.
Right. In terms of what we're going to get on Saturday, Sal, Bills and Panthers, 1 o'clock, Sal Capaccio's on the Western Hotline. So Sean McDermott said that they would not be playing the starters and that the plan kind of changed on that front this week. I don't think we know yet what that means for everybody, right? Like, I think we all know it means no Josh Allen. Like, I wouldn't expect to see a Dalton Kincaid or a Deion Dawkins, but what about Coleman? Do you have a thought or a guess at whether Keon Coleman, especially with the injuries, would be considered someone that they wouldn't want to risk injury for on Saturday? Or would he play a lot? Because he played into the second half this past weekend.
It's a good question. My thought, just me thinking, I don't know this, we'll maybe find out from Sean when he speaks later today, is that you wouldn't play him. I think that you have four main wide receivers, Samuel Coleman, Shakir, and Hollins. To me, those are your quote-unquote starters, right? So when you say starters aren't playing, he's probably in that bucket. And Curtis Samuel's hurt, so now you're even more thin if something were to happen. The reason why they're not starting these guys, Josh Allen and others, as you said, is because they have to preserve them due to the other injuries. And if that's the philosophy, it would make sense you'd want to preserve Keon Coleman to make sure you don't have another injury at wide receiver to a top guy you're going to be counting on. Yes, he's a rookie. Yes, he might need more reps. How much are you gaining from him catching passes from Ben DiNucci or Anthony Brown, though? Right? I mean, you have to think about that, too. So I would probably put him, and by the way, and Marcos Valdes-Scantling's hurt. Like, you just have these guys that, can you risk Keon Coleman going out there and just, you know, twisting an ankle on a play, right? You just can't. So to me, he would be in that bucket. Even Tyrell Shavers, I would expect him. He's probably fighting for a spot here. I mean, he's probably got a lot to gain on Saturday, despite who he's playing with or anything. Andy Isabella, Justin Shorter, Demir Byrd, Deion Kane, Xavier Johnson. These are guys that are probably going to be counted on to be able to play. I don't know exactly what it means on who's playing and who's not.
Yeah,
but it. But there are some guys that you could probably go either way on both sides of the ball. I agree with you.
Yeah. You mentioned, while we're on receiver, Marquez Valdes-Scantling. I mean, he's not going to play Saturday. And the injury, I mean, we'll see how long it takes. Tuesday is cut-down day, Sal. What do you think ends up happening with him? Because we were already debating, you know, like, would he make the 53-man roster? Now IR, though, I guess, comes in as an idea on Tuesday. What do you think ends up happening with MVS? And you think Saturday matters to that for the other guys that would have been competing with him?
Yeah, I don't know. It's a mystery because I think about, there's three guys I think about for this, which are MVS, Mitch Trubisky, and Baylen Spector. Like those three guys, I mean, Quentin Morris too, he's a fourth one because unless something's really wrong with Curtis Samuel's toe, like I think, okay, he's on the team, obviously not going to IR him. You just get him ready for week one. If worse comes to worse, maybe he's ready for week two, right? So that, to me, that's separate. I'm not putting him there. But when you hear week to week or multiple weeks, what does that mean for these other guys? I mean, Mr. Trubisky's out there with a brace on. He doesn't have any uniform on. I don't know what you do at backup quarterback. Do you carry three? Do you put him on IR for 4 weeks? All right. Then you have Baylen Spector. Let's be honest. I mean, Baylen Spector's got to be looking over his shoulder, Joe Andreessen right now. And Baylen Spector's had some injuries throughout his career, and he's not out there yet. And I said yesterday on the Always Game Day in Buffalo podcast, by the way, a little plug, anybody wants to listen, Matt Bove and I did 25 minutes yesterday on this. And I said this, which is, you know, it seems to me like he's really trending towards an IR candidate. at this point, Bill Inspector, because at least then you get Andreessen on the roster and see if he can actually play for 4 weeks even, right, before you bring Spector back. And they like Spector, but that's one. Then you have to figure out what you do with MVS. I agree. And do you carry him through? What the answer to all of this, guys, just lies in how long each injury is, and we don't know that, right? I mean, they're gonna have to decide on Sunday and Monday when they go through this to get to Tuesday, how long all these injuries actually are for. And if these guys, if MVS, you're not getting them back for 4 weeks, it just makes sense. You're going to have to IR them. But now how do you do that? Do you get them on the roster and then IR them? Because you only get two.
Right.
This year it's a change. You do get two, though. You never did have any before. You get two guys in that final day you can actually put on IR before final cuts, and then you can bring them back. And to me, there's three guys, actually four with Quentin Morris, that would be candidates for that. And the others, you have to decide, are you carrying them on the roster? Are you simply just IRing them? What you can do, I tell you this, here's what you can do. You can put all, actually, you know what? I have to look at the rule on this. This is a good question. I got to go look. If you put all four on IR, I don't know if you have to declare with the new rule the two that are coming back, or you could just kind of do it later. You know what I mean?
Sure.
That makes sense?
Yeah.
You know, because
like
you could
just put them all on IR and not have to decide until, whenever.
Right.
Or do you have to say it?
I think
it
you
that
have
day.
To declare according to the way the rule was written. I'm going to go, it's a really good question. I'm going to go look at that now. But
okay.
I think the bottom line is, all of this depends on how long these injuries are, and I don't think any of us kind of knows that right now.
Lastly, Sal, before we let you go, and we'll see if we can get clarification on like how that all works.
Yeah.
The last time Nate was in, we did our first snap draft, who would be on the Bills for the first snap of the season.
Yeah.
I think you're looking pretty good. I mean, me and Nate have both dealt with some injury stuff. You have James Cook, Keon Coleman, Dawson Knox, Chase Claypool, that's a no, KJ Hamler, Zach Davidson. I don't know. I think you're getting three out of that group. Cook, Coleman, maybe in Coleman, Knox. Although, again, 12 personnel, that might be tough. That could be Hollins instead. Anyways, I think you're looking pretty good in our first snap draft.
I liked my draft when it happened. So, you know, I think I'm looking pretty good at this point. I mean, that's the other point is tight end, too, what they're going to do there. I mean, not that Morris or Zach Davidson will be on the first snap of the game, but
yeah.
These are all like, you know, issues that they're going to work through. I'm looking at this, by the way, real quick. I want to see what this says about the IR situation. I think you have to declare them.
Okay.
When they go on. So if you put four guys. So here's if the Bills put four guys on IR, let's say at the last day on Tuesday, I believe, according to how I'm reading the rule, you can have two of them designated to return later, and the other two would have to be normal IR for the season guys.
All right. Sal Capaccio on the Wester Hotline. Thank you, Sal, and we'll talk tomorrow.
All right, guys, thanks.
We will take a timeout here. Yeah, so that IR rule will make it interesting for how they treat Tuesday, and also for backup quarterback, because if Trubisky is going to miss a few weeks, but they think they could bring him back, then maybe they go Ben DiNucci. But if they think, you know, IR and he's out for the year, then maybe they decide to do something else. When we come back, I want to go through this first snap draft a little bit more. How we think the Bills are going to play week one, and who's going to be available to them. Also, if you're on hold with a call, we'll get you on as well. Ken, if you stay on hold, we'll start with you when we come back. Jody Biasi, Nate Geary, Jeremy's out today. This is WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly! Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.